Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
The new signings, as we kind of mentioned, I think this fits into hopefully how I feel the season's going to go, but they're all settling in nicely at different speeds. Chris, you know, the goalkeeper looks fully integrated. Shaqiri has just been a revelation in every minute of football that he's played for us on the pitch this season. I think Fabinho now starting to look like he's finding his groove. Keita, not quite yet.
No, before we talk about the signings, I want to talk about the manager, to be honest, because I remember someone saying to me a couple of years ago, just because you're swimming the wrong direction doesn't mean you're wrong. Like, if everyone's swimming that way and you're swimming that way, doesn't mean you're wrong. Jurgen Klopp is swimming against the tide in this one. He is happy to buy a player and not put them into his side. No other manager in world football spending 75 million or 60 million, 50 million pounds on a player and not putting them straight into their side. But Jurgen Klopp would rather have a midfield of Jordan Henderson, Gini Wijnaldum and James Milner playing exactly the way he wants to play football than have a more talented guy who doesn't understand the system. Yeah. And it goes back to that point earlier on about the team. Yeah. Because the team is more important than individual players. Now, when you get those individual players with better skill sets integrated into the team becomes better. That's what it's all about. Yeah. And everybody else is panicking. There's pressures on them. They need to throw the players in and they need to try and get results as quick as possible. And Klopp's going, they don't know how I play football, so why the fuck am I going to play them? Yeah. And what does that do to them? Yeah. The person? Do they come into this side, Morata, and not perform because they don't understand the system and what's being asked of them? Yeah. Then the fans turn on them. Can you ever get past that, Morata? I don't know.
Yeah.
But Jurgen Klopp won't throw his players under the bus. Jurgen Klopp thinks the team's more important, and as such the team will keep getting results until that player's ready. When that player's ready to showcase what he can do, he's put into the sides a la Robertson, a la Oxlade-Chamberlain, and listen, Van Dijk even was so ready made that he went straight in. Alisson was so ready made that he went straight in. But the other lads are taking their time, and Klopp's taking his time with them. And it's all, their performances are down to Jurgen Klopp and his management.
Let's give them ratings then. Normally we do the full squad of mid-season ratings, but I want to just focus on the new players. Tom, how would you rate Alisson's start of the season?
It's got to be like a 9.5. Remember, at the start of the season, I was writing an article defending Karius and why it could have been a good reason why. And I was like, look, it basically said, Karius is okay, but if we want to shell out the money to get this world-class goalkeeper, let's do it. But I don't think we're going to do it because we don't spend that amount of money. And we did. And the amount of difference is astounding. Yeah. I remember thinking I want Oblak because he's a better shot stopper.
Yeah.
But we can kind of forget about Alisson because I don't really care about his distribution.
I talked myself out of Alisson because it looked like it wasn't going to happen. Yeah. And I remember going back and watching like that every touch in a game video. I watched a few of them from last season, but for Brazil and for Roma. And thought he was fine. I couldn't tell really whether he was our type of goalkeeper. Yeah. I can't. I was dead jealous of Edison because I thought Edison was a tremendous signing for City last year, and I think he is a tremendous goalkeeper. I didn't realise how like Edison he was, but he's like Edison. But I don't watch Edison every week, so I don't know. I presume they'll have a similar feeling on this. But there's just something about his aura, Chris. He's got there's something about him that he just projects this absolute calmness, and some of that is because it costs so much money. and because we know there's nothing better out there, so it means we can kind of switch off to the whole can he be improved on kind of thing. But just in terms of how he carries himself, he's very Pepe Reina like in terms of he makes a mistake and he goes ugh, and then carries on, and he doesn't change, he doesn't seem to react to mistakes like in a negative way. His distribution is the best I've ever seen from a goalkeeper.
Yeah. It lets us get further up the pitch. The amount of times that Robertson will run up to the halfway line into space, and you'll think, no other goalkeeper really, maybe Edison, will play that ball over the top like that. And it goes straight to his feet and we can carry on. His throws, Robertson's bombing down the wing, and he curls the throw so it goes into his path. And he gets us on the attack so many times, and he lets us... He makes their defenders shit themselves. Mm-hmm. Corner, oh, they've got the ball. Run as fast as you can to get back. And then you're goose then, and then Salah's coming at you. And that's doing that constantly. They don't want corners anymore because we score off corners.
Nobody wants to attack us because we're going to score off them. You know, you don't see this on the telly, but there was one against Newcastle, and he bowled it underarm to maybe Trent or something like that, and it was like it was a full-on underarm, but he realised someone was going to get in the way, so he like lifted it over him and it rolled straight in front of the man. Now it reminds me of a centre midfield player like a Zabalonzo, who can curl the ball that way, will curl the ball that way. He does the inside like throws, he does the overarm throws.
He's
he'll
like
do
a
anything
bowler,
he'll
isn't
do
he?
Anything to get the ball in front, and it doesn't matter which way he's going to do it, he's going to find a way to get there, because
he plays in three
dimensions attack.
Doesn't he, like? I don't think that's why the best goalkeepers are so rare. So rare in football, truly quality goalkeepers. We've had decent goalkeepers at Liverpool, but I think about the ones that we've had, and I can now look at all the ones that have gone before him, and you can see where they had good attributes. It makes their good attributes more stark in contrast to others, because I can see what Alisson's got, and it's like David James's throws. He's as good a throwing as David James, probably better. He's got Pepe Reina. He's better distribution overall than Pepe Reina, which was his major strength. In terms of his ability to play, you're talking Bruce Grobbelaar. In terms of his all-over composure, you're talking Ray Clements. You know, and he's got all of these things in one wonderfully sexy, beardy package.
You know what it is? It's Storm from Cars 3 or something. You know what I mean? When the younger generation come in and just... They're just completely better. Different and better than than Lightning McQueen.
And yeah, that's it. You know, we joke. I endorse that reference. I'm seeing it with Everton. I'm seeing it with Pickford, and the Evertonians think Pickford is absolutely incredible because they've just had years of Martin Stekelenburg and Tim Howard and Joel Robles, and like we've had it with Karius. Karius was better than Mignolet. I thought he had qualities that suited us better. And that's why I'd have always played Karius over Mignolet. But now we've seen, but the difference is more wide, of course. When we bought Matip and he was better than what we had in terms of centre-half, well, this is a really good lad, he's good on the ball, he can play a good pass, and Virgil van Dijk is just better at everything than Joel Matip, and you go, that's the same with Alisson to Karius. It is frightening. Nine and a half. He's not been flawless because he's cost us a couple of goals. Yeah. He's cost us more goals than Mignolet and Karius did. So that is what it is.
He's also saved us more.
True enough. I think the point is, that I've been making all along, there's no such thing as a flawless goalkeeper. You know, they all make mistakes. They will all cost you a goal.
Has he got an assist yet? He hasn't, has he?
No.
He's got a key pass, I think, to Trent, hasn't he? And then Trent played it through. Fantastic.
But he'll get a 10 when he gets an assist.
7 and 19, he's conceded in the Premier League. There you go, there's a 9.
Fabinho, I'll throw a 7 in there for Fabinho because it's tough, because I don't think it's his fault. He didn't not play because he was shit.
No.
He didn't not play deliberately. It was all part of a plan. I don't think he's been... I think he's actually put a couple of big performances in, but if I was to give him like any higher than a 7 and he plays for the rest of the season like he played in the 2 or 3 really good performances put in, I don't know how much further I can go with that. It's a 7 under the caveat that I think he's probably an 8 or 9 out of 10 every week.
I'm going to give him an 8, and I'm going to give him an 8 because he's changed our midfield.
Yeah.
Because I don't think we'd be playing this 4-2-3-1 without him.
Okay.
And I don't think we'd be as good if we were still playing 4-3-3.
Yeah. Yeah. Coming off the back, having an assist and a goal, it's an 8. I feel like he's adding that now. He's prepared to get on the edge of the box and beat a man. He's prepared to play that ball over the top. And look, we have players who can do that, but it's weird. We always used to say Henderson has the ball over the top. Gino Wijnaldum has the beating a man skill from that number 6. Fabinho has both. And I know it's taken him a while to get into it, but it's only because we want him to play that role exactly like we were talking about before. But I didn't realise he had those qualities. I didn't realise. Obviously, I'd seen the highlights packages from his previous clubs and stuff.
Remember when we did the stats and tactics on him and we found out that he loves doing 1-2s on the edge of the area? Yeah. How did he get his assist? A fucking 1-2 on the edge of the area and then drills the ball across.
Yeah. He's going to, like, you're right, Paul, he's going to get better, but I feel like he's going to get better towards a 9. I really feel like if he keeps this level, and because the other mad thing
and
is,
he's brought Rebecca.
Yeah, exactly. But he does it with Genie.
She's made Twitter better.
He does it with Hendo. Like, remember some midfield partnerships, you'd be like, that doesn't work. He works with every single person in that midfield. Yeah. So he's just better. Yeah. It's mad.
Yeah, I'm fine with all of that. Naby Keita, 6.
Wow. Even though he's starting to come in, remember when
he's maybe had one really good game for us.
Is that the West Ham? Or?
And I'm struggling to genuinely... No, because it was like...
He looked good against
minutes,
West Ham.
10 minutes to 40 in the back end of the last like 10 minutes of the game. I think he played as a sub, didn't he?
He played the assist for...
He started his first game.
Yeah, he did.
When he went left wing, I thought he looked really good at the end, but I wouldn't say he was outstanding in that. I can't remember what game it was. It was a couple of weeks ago, and I was like... We made a big point on it, and it was like... That's the first time you can go, this is what he kind of, you can see what he does. It was first really show. He got thrown, we're talking about Fabinho. Klopp thought enough of Keita to put him into the team. Yeah. Now, some of that is just down to the fact that Jordan Henderson wasn't fit enough to start the season, by the way. You know, so obviously we had to ease Henderson in after the back of the World Cup. But he trusted Keita enough to put him in. And even though he didn't have any really outstanding performances really around that time, that he was able to go into that team and be fine is a testament to how good he is.
Yeah.
But I don't think this is not the lad I was excited about buying. There's not enough there for me to go, whoa. Isolated moments in games, and more of them have come in the last two or three weeks since he came back from injury.
Mm. I'd give him a 7 personally, because I do feel like. I feel like a lot of people are judging him on what they thought we were buying, and I'm trying to judge him on his performances. And I can't say personally that I think he's had bad games. Yeah, I don't think he's had outstanding games.
Yeah,
and that's the difference for me. Is like, if you're trying to just judge him on the games that he's played in, well, I remember the ones where he's played well recently, then he's come back from injury, more than the ones that have been stop-start. I try not to judge the people like that on substitute appearances, because I think it's impossible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he had that when he got injured. Was that Napoli away when he got injured? He was teared that day, but all of us were. So you know what I mean. But I think 6 is probably fair. I think he's got a lot more to offer, and that's the only reason he's getting a 6, because you're right. The player he was, he's got that to come into. You've seen flashes of it. Yeah. He's not afraid to beat a man on the edge of the box. And you were saying the other day, one day he's going to just beat 3 men and then slot it. And that's coming. And I feel like he needs to build up a bit more of a rapport with the attacking players. If you think about it, takes a lot of time.
He had it with Sturridge, didn't he?
Yeah.
Early in pre-season and that. But he hasn't quite got it with the others yet.
It takes so long. And I think it's more because we don't have Oxlade-Chamberlain in there, because he's expected to be what Oxlade-Chamberlain was towards the back end. And if you don't know the system completely in and out,
well,
it's so hard.
Well, we've changed the system. We were playing 4-3-3. He got injured, we came back, and we were playing 4-2-3-1. So we've seen him played as a box-to-box in a 4-3-3. And he's been playing from the left a bit in 4-2-3-1. He's played in the 4-2-2-2 in amongst there, whatever you want to call it.
The left-hand side again,
like,
whatever that
you
was,
know, and... Again, I think he's shone in isolation. I think that the Burnley game, obviously goes off in... Is it Burnley? Was it Burnley?
Is that the one where he went off injured? He was good in that game.
Yeah, right? I think I'm right in saying that. He's... It's good. I can see we've got a good player there. But if he has a second half of the season, the way he's had a first half of the season, he's not...
he's underwhelmed.
He's just another player in the squad, isn't he? He's not one of the gems. He's not a £50 million. You know, we expected him to have a revolutionary effect on our midfield. And I don't know what his goals are. He's not scored yet.
He hasn't got an assist. From doing stats all the time, I'm pretty sure he doesn't have an assist. It's one of them. He's coming into the Premier League and it must be a tough transition. You think of, like, Shaqiri's at the ground running, Van Dijk's at the ground running. The only outlier to that, I guess, is Alisson because he didn't come from the Premier League. But everyone else has kind of fit in and done the job. But you're coming up against Premier League defenders. There's got to be a bit of a step up. But I'm really excited about him, and that's why he gets a six, but with a massive, massive margin for going up.
I mean, we're just looking at it quickly there, like, you know, 9 goals and 7 assists in the Bundesliga last year, 8 and 7 the season before, and like in 18 all comps, no goals and no assists for a guy who's not.
How many minutes has he played actually?
800 and something, I think that was 886.
It's quite a lot of minutes.
Yeah. Because he played a lot at the start of the season, didn't he? You know, he was in the team every week for the first probably 6 weeks, two months of the season.
I do like his attack and press, though. That's been a massive part. Like, that's a staple of his game. We knew that. And you've seen Fabinho do it from kind of deeper. He does it from even higher up the pitch. I can't wait to see that evolve.
Jadon Sancho, I don't think he could have done any more. I think the only way he could have done it ever so slightly more was to score that chance against Chelsea at Stamford Bridge, and I'd be all up for a 10 if he'd done that in addition to what he's done. People can give him whatever they want. If you want to give him a 10, I'm not going to make any argument against that. I do think there's more of the same to come, so maybe, you know, 9 there or thereabouts. Maybe he makes himself utterly undroppable to make himself closer to a 10, but. No, I'm made up with Jadon Sancho in a way that I never felt. Of all of our signings, he was the one I was the most underwhelmed by, probably. And that's the one, because he's the one I'd seen the most, really.
I'd be happy giving him a 9. My only concern with Sancho is when he started a game, he's tired in games.
Yeah.
60 minutes in, you lose him. He's gone.
Yeah.
When he comes on as a sub, he's fantastic.
Yeah.
And he gets into the game so quick. I want to see those performances spread over 90 minutes.
Yeah.
And that's the only thing he can do better, because I don't think he can have more of an effect than scoring 6 goals from however few minutes he's had.
Yeah.
I'm going to put a bold claim out there, and maybe people will agree, maybe people won't, but remember how Coutinho used to play that role?
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't really fit. Obviously, different system, but like when he left, we seemed to play better, didn't we? It seemed to flow a bit better. Jadon Sancho is obviously a different side, but he's playing that role and he's playing it better suited. You know what I mean? He's not really taking pot shots. He's like shaping up to do it, and then he slide roll pass through to Salah and he scores. And that's the thing for me. For me, when he was at Stoke, he was the man he humped the ball to, and I was thinking, why are we going to use him like that? We've got Salah for that. He's not taking Salah at the team. And then we've just gone, no, he's a passer, lads. Everyone, no, he can pass the ball. And that's the thing. He's just so much better than I thought he was. And for me, I think that 8, 8.5, 9, I'm going to go 8, because again, I feel like there's more. Obviously, the goals have been fantastic. And I think you're right, though. We need to see it. If he carries on consistent, then yeah, 9, 10s, because...
Yeah.
He's influenced games.
6 goals and 3 assists in 18 appearances. Similar amount of minutes to Keita, 892. So in terms of, you know, I'm not using this as a direct stick to beat Keita with, of course. But yeah, you know, he's just doing the business, isn't he? You know, better than we ever could have. But this is a guy who's effectively the fourth choice forward. You know, he's the next guy, isn't he? And obviously, there was times when we were playing all four, but there's times when he's the first.
But he wasn't even that. He wasn't even that at the start of the season. Sturridge was the fourth choice forward, and we'd move someone else.
Yeah.
And Shaqiri's got himself above him because he's having a goal contribution every 180 minutes.
Yeah. Well, we were made up with Mane last season. Obviously, we were talking about last season before, weren't we? Mane was 7 and 4 last season. Shaqiri's 6 and 3. And we were like, Mane's having another really good season. Shaqiri's come in, hit the ground running and doing the business. He's making up for them goals that we need, and we're getting them from around the pitch as well. So he's so much better than anyone thought he was going
to be. Well, that's right. Yeah, Mane's on 8 goals and 1 assist for the season so far. And You know, he's a nailed-on starter for our first team. This is a guy who's still effectively predominantly a substitute. Brilliant. Speaks volumes. Let us know in the comments your ratings for all of the new signings.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel, a pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.